There are many differences between humans and the rest of the species on Earth, but one that has been expressed is that we alone are able to imagine the future. For a long time, I, and perhaps you, have dreaded that future. But now it's becoming apparent that it's not all doom and gloom.
Expat life.
There's a chance for us to make amends, to complete our journey of development, manage our impact, and once again become a species in balance with nature. All we need is the will to do so. We now have the opportunity to create the perfect home for ourselves and restore the rich, healthy, and wonderful world that we inherited. Just imagine that.
Happy 99th birthday to Sir David Attenborough. That was him. And greetings, Xenophiles. On this day in 1348, a ship from Bordeaux brought the Great Plague to England. Thanks, French. 1660 today, King Charles II of England was crowned, and it was a long time before we got another King Charles. And in 1840, Alexander Walcott patented photography, and 7 years later, Scott Robert Thompson painted the rubber tire. Happy birthday also to this guy, who seems to have trouble with his digestion. Listen, I think the onions are coming back. Listen.
Would you run?
Oops. Should not have, they should have re-recorded that. Anyway, Enrique Iglesias, 50. Imagine.
Would you save my soul tonight?
Anyway, enough of that. To business. Our guest this week, it's a BE day as well, by the way, I suppose, but we knew that already. That's probably been done to death on the news. Our guest this week, not really an expat, but spent a lot of time around and amongst expats and taught many, many expats English. And we'll find out more details about exactly who and how later. But Ioana Negro, now am I getting your name right?
Yes, you are.
Oh, good. Joan Black, I suppose in English it would be.
Joanna.
Joanna Black, yeah. It's got a ring to it as well. Born and raised in Bucharest, as we know. We'll go through the story. But first I'm going to ask you the hardest question of the night. Ioana Negro, who do you think you are?
I think I'm a sociable person. Happy to be around people, happy to teach people new things, and sometimes I think I do this pretty well.
Evidently. I've read the reviews. Should we start the story in the usual way? Let's go, and it goes like, we start with the throwback.
Expat life.
Throwback. Tell me about your childhood.
There we go, as the man said.
I was born in Bucharest, mm-hmm, in 1972.
It's a big place, Bucharest. Which part?
Downtown Bucharest, actually.
Uh-huh. Right.
I heard it was very cold that day, that even soup would turn into icicles.
Well, yeah, wow, really?
Yeah, the winters were real then.
You and I have got something in common then.
Yeah?
Because on the day I was born in the northeast of England, the sea froze.
Wow.
And it never did that before or since. Maybe who knows what that means. Maybe there's a secret meaning behind it. Anyway, go on.
So what I remember about that is that I grew up in a typical old-fashioned block of flats, communist, mm-hmm, let's call it that, mm-hmm, way, but with a beautiful gate to Chishmiju Gardens.
So that was your garden. How handy that.
Yeah. 5 minutes away from my home. I remember the lake all the boats, of course, yeah. And the swings, the slides of Chishmiju was beautiful.
And back when you could skate on that lake.
Yes.
Not anymore.
Yeah. It was very, very nice. I enjoyed that.
So that was kind of, I guess, so at those times, so that, through the 70s, right, and idyllic childhood. I mean, you had a park right there to play in and not really caring about the regime that you were living under, right? That through the 70s, it wasn't that bad, I heard. But then you moved to Floresca.
Yes, I moved to Floresca. I moved to stay with my grandparents. It was nice. I think it was much better because that's when the time when I started to have friends, real right. friends.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So somehow life in a house and hanging, you know, a rope and playing badminton or volleyball or just chasing each other and climbing trees was the time when I made friends.
Right. You mentioned in your notes hanging a rope across the road, I guess, to play. There was not that much traffic then. You could
None.
Just do that.
Yeah, you could.
Imagine it now.
And we were so happy mm-hmm. to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to block the traffic. What traffic? There's no traffic to block. Brilliant. Just play whatever games you wanted.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you still had a park nearby, I guess.
Yes, there was a park nearby. And Floresca was and still is one of the greenest parts of Bucharest, luckily.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. I drive through it a lot to get from one place to another. And it seems to be a little bit more spaced out. And I don't know, the air seems cleaner.
It has a charm to it. Yeah. I don't know, old-fashioned charm, mm-hmm. which hopefully will stay for a while.
Were you going to the cinema then in those
yes,
days?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
Before it was destroyed and turned into a nightclub.
I couldn't miss. It was Superman and all kinds of good movies.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
That cinema.
Big family? Were you an only child or did you have to fight for attention?
Only child, yes. Small family.
So you got all the attention.
All the attention in the world.
Nice. And let's talk about school. Did you enjoy it? Were you good at it?
I think I enjoyed a lot primary and middle school. Mm-hmm. High school was a bit harder for me. It was too much math and too much physics for my like, but I managed to do it well.
Okay, that's something we don't have in common because for me it was too much everything else but the maths and physics. That was the only thing I enjoyed. But there we go. But then it was kind of, so you were growing up through, and then you hit your teenage years in the 80s when things here were getting pretty grim, right? Did you sense it? Were you fully aware of what was going on, or was this just another part of the teenage angst?
It was very grey. Everything was plain from our uniforms, mm-hmm. which were dark and really, really ugly. And everything around was really dark and grey. That's what I remember.
And not just because there was no electric light, but because there was no colour in anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember feeling that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you do to escape this? Did you find, you know, escape routes, things to distract you?
I think I was preoccupied a lot about school back then, about, you know, like any teenager would do, hanging out mm-hmm. with friends. And I think back then music was important.
Right.
It still is very uh-huh. important, but music was very important to make us happy.
That will become self-evident when we start playing the music you picked. I think, yeah. You wrote in your notes you played a game. I never heard of this one, The Ducks and the Hunters. What's that?
Well, there are only two hunters and lots of ducks, and right. they need to save their lives yeah. by trying to avoid the ball. And we did that a lot. Maybe it has a different
so
name
like,
in
like
English.
A tag game. So, okay, so you get the ball, you throw it, and if you get hit by it, you're out.
Exactly.
Simple as that.
And then you become a hunter, no longer a duck. So that can happen.
All right. They should make a TV show out of it. It could work in the modern age. Yeah. And what were you dreaming to be at this point? You know, you're going through, you're thinking, apart from thinking, I just want to go somewhere where there's colour and light. When I grow up, I want to be a doctor, lawyer, astronaut, train driver, what?
I think I was thinking of being an artist, drawing things.
Uh-huh. Now, were you...
But I was not that good at it, to be honest.
Okay, that's honest of you. I mean,
yeah.
Were you sort of fascinated by drawing from a very early age? Have you got like thousands of drawings that you made?
Lots. Still? I wouldn't say thousands, mm-hmm. but lots, yes.
So
yes.
You had anything yeah. in particular you used to draw or whatever came
a
in front of
nature.
You?
A lot of nature. I remember a lot of nature, yeah.
Yeah, there's a pattern here because nature, the forests, saving birds. Tell me more about that.
It was that every time when I would go out to the forest, I would find something like a bird or maybe some sort of animal that I would like to save. And this has been with me for a while because I've been looking after dogs and saving some
right.
and caring mm-hmm. about them.
Yeah, but I'm curious about saving birds. Did you ask them, do you need to be saved? I mean, are they birds in distress or you just, oh, I like the look of that. I'm going to, in quotes, save it.
Well, say they couldn't fly or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, if it was injured. Yeah,
exactly.
Take it home and bring mm-hmm. it back to health.
If yeah? I could, yeah.
Uh-huh, okay. So no dreams to become a vet then?
No.
Or natural historian, no. Drawing. No. And at what point did you decide, because you already mentioned, you said your drawings were not very good. Were you told that or did you decide?
I think I was told that.
Oh, that's cruel.
Yeah, I think I was told they are not so good as they should be.
Yeah, so you thought I better look for something else.
Yeah.
So did your dreams change or did you just go to university to study the first thing that came to your head?
I think I liked languages a lot and that's when I decided to go to university and study Romanian and English.
Right, purely because of the languages thing.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And why English and not French? Because that was popular in those days.
It was very popular back then, but I only had this in school.
Yeah.
It was German in primary school and later on was English.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. Okay. You know what? We'll talk about your first piece of music. But before that, I've just realized something. That I thought about in the car on the way here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it came to my, I was doing sums, calculations in my head, and I realized that you reached your 18th birthday,
mm-hmm.
so you became a major adult person exactly 1 month after the revolution started in Timișoara. So that's a lot of changes in your mind and in your outlook and in your life. How did that feel? Did you even notice the connection?
To be honest, it was so sudden.
Yeah.
And it was like a frenzy back in December 89.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I don't think I remember much of my birthday in January because it was still about the revolution and everything that was going on back then.
But by the time of your birthday, were you convinced that it had actually happened or
yes.
were you still worried that there might be a way back?
No, I was convinced it happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. And so then... Yeah, I suppose it's like, oh, it's Ioana's birthday. Who cares? We just had a revolution.
Yeah, something like that.
Like that. Oh, how to bury news. And then you mentioned earlier about you didn't get your fancy dress. You didn't get to do all the dressing up thing at school because, oh.
Yes, because there were other unrest moments.
Mineriada
in June 90. And we were not allowed to do our beautiful parade on Dorobanților Avenue. And we had to do it in the courtyard. But it was still a good one.
Oh, yeah. So at least you did get to dress
yes.
up. It's just not
yes.
everybody got to see it.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Photographs?
Very few.
But some. Okay. So.
But some. Very few from that time, yeah.
It was not for nothing then. Okay. Going to play your first piece of music. Already time for that. And, well, you picked Simon and Garfunkel. Now, it could be, there's a vast body of work from these guys, right? But why did you pick this one?
It's, I don't know, anytime I hear it, it's something idyllic that comes to my mind
yeah.
and a desire for freedom, for being who you are.
Right.
Not being somebody who you are not.
That's fair enough, yes. First time I heard this song was not by Simon and Garfunkel, by Nana Mouskouri.
Really?
She did a great version of it.
Oh, I didn't
yeah.
know that.
And listening to it only now, I'm thinking, I think ABBA stole this idea for Fernando.
Ah, could have.
Similar sound.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to Simon and Garfunkel, El Condor Pasa, if I could.
I'd rather be a sparrow than a snake. Yes, I would. If I could, I surely would. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be a hammer than a nail. Yes, I would. If I only could, I surely would. Oh,
street. Yes, I would. If I could, I surely would. I'd rather feel the earth beneath my feet. Yes, I would. If I only could, I surely would.
Sang really well together for two guys who hated each other.
Good people gather around Radio Gorilla.
Expat Life.
Money, money, money.
Welcome back, Expat Life with Ioana Negro. Now, this is money, money, money. In other words, you start earning it. So you did your studies, you studied Romanian and English. How many years did you do that for?
Five altogether.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And in Bucharest, right? You said
yes.
That already. Yes. And then when you walked away with your degree and your nice certificate, and you were thinking, "Wow, I'm free. My work. I can do anything I want now." What did you do?
The first job was one that was very close to my house. It was a big IT company, big at that time, and I was teaching English.
I know the building that was in.
Yes.
Did it end up being Computerland?
I think so.
Next to what then became Bila, is now Carrefour.
True.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And there I was teaching English to the staff. And
now, are these mostly, obviously, foreigners, but I'm guessing the mostly Americans coming in here?
At that time?
Yeah.
I think so.
Right.
And Germans.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was teaching English to the Romanian staff then and doing some proofreading. But that was my first job. And after that, I became a teacher.
Uh-huh. So, wait a minute. After that, you were a teacher.
Well, like a full-time teacher.
Oh, okay.
Let's put it this way.
Yeah. And so, a full-time teacher. But it was your first job was at a kindergarten?
Yeah, part-time job.
That's interesting, that, because you went from teaching grown-up people English to teaching kindergarten children.
Children were first.
Ah, right. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was fun.
Yeah. But that's both ends of the spectrum right there.
Yeah, true.
Which ones are easier to deal with? you don't have to answer that.
Children are fun.
Yeah?
Yep. They energize you.
Okay, that's... Yeah.
But that teaching to adults has a lot of rewarding moments.
Yeah. So, okay. So you were teaching and proofreading and... basically working with the IT company and mingling with Americans. And is this where you got the idea for the Peace Corps?
I found a little ad in the newspaper. Back then, there was no internet.
Right.
There was a regular ad in the newspaper. I thought, why not joining them for the summer and teaching Romanian? And that's how it started in 97.
Right. So they were bringing... So you found yourself surrounded by Americans?
Yes.
Teaching them Romanian.
Mm-hmm.
Did they get along with it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was only during the summer. I thought it was easy. Mm-hmm. And then it became a full-time job.
Right. Now, Peace Corps. Everybody thinks they know what the Peace Corps does or is, right? Because I thought I knew what it was. When I hear the words Peace Corps, I am imagining people running around the city in white Land Rovers trying to keep the peace. No, that's not what they do. What describe what the Peace Corps is for.
So they used to come here to be teachers, mm-hmm. in small communities or larger communities, or social workers or community developers. We had a very small group that were IT gurus at some point, but that was a small group. And they would stay for 2 years. They
right.
could extend to the third year. And they were trying to adapt to the Romanian society and also do meaningful things. And I remember one volunteer, I had many, but I remember one who was sent to Roșiorii de Vede, and she was so cheerful, so bubbly, and so happy as a person
yeah.
all the children loved Maria.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She was the highlight of their school years.
Yeah, yeah, with all that infectious American enthusiasm.
Yes, true.
Yeah. And it helps, especially with, I suppose, especially with children.
Yes, it helps. And it helps a lot with people who maybe don't have the courage to start speaking or to... it helps a lot with people who need to have good self-esteem.
Right. Yeah. And again, it's part of what, let's say, what the Peace Corps is about. It's about bilateral understanding, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Americans are not all like that. And Romanians are not all like that. Let's understand each other more and get...
True.
And learning the language is a good way to learn the mentality, I think, of any nation. Get embedded in it. And so you spent how long with the Peace Corps?
Almost 7 years.
Okay. But then... This you taught some interesting people, I understand.
Very interesting people. Yeah,
come on. But are these people you're allowed to name? I mean, diplomats I know are included, but you might have to just make a name up for those. I don't know what the rules are.
So the people that I was teaching back then were here for 2 years, mm-hmm. volunteers, and
right.
I would call them, I don't know, specialists. Let's call them specialists in their domain.
So they were imported here to help set something up or get something started or
let's say just help some schools.
Right.
In terms of communication and...
So it was all about the education sector? Not
yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Okay.
Making classes more creative, I would say.
Because right. I'm kind of finding parallels with what I was doing when I first came here, which was not about education, but it was in the business world.
Nice.
Bringing in, it sounds really corny to say now, Western expertise.
Mm-hmm.
To get to help local people build software in a more commercial way rather than as a purely technical way. You know, and this was, and I'm thinking it's a similar thing. I was doing it in the business world. You with your Peace Corps were doing it in the educational space. And it's just all about raising awareness and broadening horizons, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would say absolutely. That's about that.
Mm-hmm. And but mostly children.
They were teaching, the volunteers would teach children or maybe teenagers from the high school.
Mm-hmm.
But we had some that were also teachers at university.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this you traveled around quite a lot of places here. Now, was this all did the Peace Corps take you places to teach, or was this not connected at all? I mean, you went to the US, you went to Europe, US, Turkey, Armenia, Hong Kong. Was this all because
Armenia,
you were sent there?
Armenia and Moldova were for Peace Corps.
Right.
Yes. A lot of Romania was for Peace Corps. I was traveling all over Romania.
Right.
So I was lucky.
Mm-hmm. And someone else bought the train tickets or even the flights.
Yep.
Brilliant. Yeah. So how did you go from that to teaching? I mean, did you know when you took this job on that you might have to teach Romanian to diplomats?
No. I think I was... it happened to me.
Yeah?
Honestly, yeah. It happened that people said, why don't you teach me? And I said, why not?
Ivana might be good at this one. She knows how to deal with important people.
Yeah, it happened like that. And I started to love it.
Mm-hmm. Good. Right. I want to continue the story a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit more about what you did with the Peace Corps and where you went and who you spoke to and who you taught, and then we'll go on to what you did after that.
Uh-huh.
But first, I want to play your second piece of music. Ah-ha-ha. And it's Queen. It's another track that has an absolutely unmistakable start. It goes like that. There we go. Why this one, apart from the outrageous video that was on MTV?
Well, we were talking about my youth,
yeah.
So for me, this is a song of youth.
There we go. Look at that. Yeah.
Something energy. Full of energy.
January 1990, you're about to become 18. The world has changed. Boom!
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to
Question for you.
Yes.
The video for this, everybody knows the video for this, right? Where they're all dressed up as the various women. Did you know who those characters were?
No.
There was a telenovela that in the UK that has been running since television was invented. It's called Coronation Street, about common life near Manchester. And all of the characters they were playing were characters from that telenovela.
I didn't know that.
But life still goes on. I can't get used to living without, living without, living without you by my side. I don't want to live alone. Hey, God knows, got to make it on my own. So baby, can't you see?
Expat Life, powered by those beautiful people at Radio Gorilla.
Expat Life.
Chaotic. Quixotic.
Exotic.
Welcome back, Expat Life. You want a Negro? At the top of the adverts there, you saw heard an advert for the film Things We Said Today. It's a film you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. I loved it and I urge you to watch it. It's an astonishing movie that tells the story without telling the story. Just watch it.
I will.
It's definitely worth seeing. So anyway, we're going to pick up the story with a question. Are diplomats easy to teach?
They are.
They are?
They are. They are very organized. They stick to their agenda, yeah. So you never have surprises with them.
Okay. Good.
Yes.
There's no stop thinking of self-importance. I know everything, or of course not, no. Yeah, diplomat. I've spoken to a few diplomats on here, and they're very open-minded also.
Very open-minded, and when they start doing something, they do it very mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. till the end.
I've noticed in your notes that you were quite, let's say, you felt rewarded by the fact that you taught people to teach, to be teachers. You
yes.
taught Americans to be teachers in Romanian.
That's true.
Yeah, now... I can imagine it's rewarding. How was that process? How did you get into that?
Well, first of all, we did it as it came like that. So they would come here. Some of them maybe had some experience. Mm-hmm. Some had none.
Right.
So we did some sort of practical thing for them. We set up classrooms mm-hmm. and they started to do this like 3-4 months in advance before being sent to the schools in Romania.
Right.
And after they were sent to a school, say in a city such as Alba Iulia, we would go and see them doing it there.
Uh-huh.
Plus they learned a lot from their colleagues, from the Romanian colleagues.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I must say for everybody, it was a win-win experience.
Yeah. Cool. And You said that some of the traveling was also because you went to Moldova, yeah?
Yes.
Which kind of makes sense.
I mean,
just there, right?
Yes.
And where else did you go with
Armenia?
Armenia. Now, okay, which is, doesn't make quite so much sense because it's not just there, although it's not that far away. Why Armenia?
Armenia because some of the conferences from Peace Corps were organized there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was beautiful. I enjoyed it. It was a mix of green and...
So did you go along to a conference? Were you going there as a delegate or as a translator or as a teacher?
No, as a delegate of Peace Corps Romania.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what happens in these conferences? What do they confer about?
I think it's more informal than you would expect mm-hmm. because people would come from all these countries and right. it was an exchange of experience mostly.
Like a team building.
Yeah, like a team building, okay. not so much lecturing to each other. Yeah.
Okay, nice. Yeah, yeah. But these. So the other interesting places you've been though were for holidays.
Yes.
All of them. Wow. Yeah. So Turkey. Okay, Turkey again. It's just over there. Yeah. Hong Kong.
Yeah, I visited some friends there.
Right.
Yeah.
How was that? I've never been there yet. It's on my list of things to do because it strikes me as going to be like. Well, very, very different to anything I've ever experienced.
It was very different, but I like the fact that, the first thing I liked a lot was I've never seen the amount of boats that I saw in Hong Kong is amazing.
Right.
I was happy not to get lost mm-hmm. because I always found a landmark and they have plenty of high towers and I enjoy the energy. Yeah. They have a very good energy there.
Right.
Yes.
Interesting. When was this?
It's many years ago.
Okay.
More than 15 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, after it was, let's say, handed back to China.
Yes, definitely.
And, yeah, because I people were worrying, thinking, oh, this place is going to fall apart now. It didn't.
It didn't.
Because Hong Kong is too big to fail,
yes,
I think.
True.
Yeah, and it definitely, on my list of things to do. You wrote down something. You wrote down the Joshua Tree Valley. Now, I don't know anything about it, except every time I hear the words, I think about this sound here. Which is U2's album, The Joshua Tree.
I was going to say it was U2, yes.
Which I don't think any Englishman heard of the words The Joshua Tree in the same sentence before this album came out. Why did you go of all the places there?
Well, it was South California, mm-hmm. and some friends said, let's go see it. And to be honest, I've never seen... that before, you know, mm-hmm. the amount of cactuses everywhere.
Oh, right.
Their height and the peace surrounding them.
Yeah.
And it was sunset, obviously. Ah, it was peaceful.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And then was this at the same trip that you did the Grand Canyon?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Makes perfect sense.
Which I also saw sunset. And I would encourage anybody to see it then. Ah,
sunset's the best time of day to see anything.
Yes, absolutely.
I totally agree. Have you ever been to London?
Yes.
The Shard building.
Not yet to the Shard.
If you ever go there, go at sunset.
I will.
It's fabulous at sunset. Because as the sun goes, all the shadows around the city start to move, like almost in real time. And it's every time you look around, it's different to how it was 5 seconds ago. Very, very nice. Anyway, enough of that. after the Peace Corps, now you're teaching, still teaching, and you're going to always be a teacher, right?
I think so.
Yeah, so now you're freelance teaching.
For about 20 years now.
Wow, and so what are you teaching to whom? I guess you're teaching Romanian and English.
Romanian stays a big part of my teaching life, 80%.
Right.
And people come from all over. And they come here because their job, their love life... And they need.
I can identify with that. With both of those.
And they need Romanian, whether it is to, you know, just to go shopping or to make an impression to the in-laws.
Yeah.
A good one.
Yes. I'm not going to bore the listeners with a story. I'll tell you off air about how I made my impression with the in-laws. That's why I'm a Stour supporter. Anyway, another story. And you're entirely freelance. You set up as a totally independent teacher. Are you affiliated with any organization, schools, or?
I do have a few work with other organizations, but mm-hmm. mostly I try to teach companies.
Right.
And it's either offline or online. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot online with the pandemic.
Well, I imagine that changed pretty much everything, didn't it? And it possibly even opened up some horizons. Whereas before, people were expecting that you'd meet the teacher in the same room, which kind of limited your audience. And suddenly the pandemic comes and it's acceptable to do it over a Zoom conference, which means you can teach anywhere in the world.
Yes.
From anywhere in the world. Did it fundamentally change the way you do things?
Yes, it did. It did. And obviously it made geography easier because people, as you said, can connect from anywhere and they can learn Romanian.
Mm-hmm. So if people want to learn how to impress their in-laws with their very best Romanian or English, how do they find you? Are you available for hire, right?
Yes.
Right.
Most of them find me through the word of mouth, mm-hmm. other people telling them about me, or they found me through, you know, maybe LinkedIn, Facebook, things like that.
Sell yourself. How do we find you? What's your handle? What's your name on LinkedIn? Where? How do we get you? How do we search for you?
On LinkedIn, I'm Ioana Negro.
Easy enough.
Yes. On Facebook is the same.
Right.
And they can also Google RomanianTeacher.ro.
RomanianTeacher.ro. Right.
Yes.
I'll put all those links up in the show notes when I put this live. Okay. Because, you know, why not? Why not? She's good. You should use her. Right. Running out of time. Time for your third piece of music. Can you believe it already? And another unforgettable song, Kansas. Another song with a very, identifiable introduction. That's all you need to know. And you know what the song is. Why did you choose Dust in the Wind?
Well, I think I love this song because it's about treasuring every moment. Mm-hmm. And if treasuring every moment is even the moment when you impress your in-laws, go for it.
Nice segue. Hear that song right to the end, you'll have to listen to the podcast version because now we have to do this.
Expat Life.
Xenophiles, welcome.
Expat Life.
Next chapter.
And we're back, Expat Life with Ioana Negro. Why did you go to Crufts?
Well, for my love of dogs, obviously.
This is what we're leading into, yeah?
Yes.
Because I noticed, I was searching the internet for photographs of you, and there are dogs You're cuddling dogs in a lot of them.
Yes.
This is also something that started from your childhood, right?
It did.
Mm-hmm. So is this just that you like to have a pet dog, or is there more to it than that?
No, they've always been around me.
Mm-hmm.
And since 4 years ago, I adopted a cat.
Oh, what did the dog think of that?
Well, they didn't quite like it in the beginning, but now they could care less if she's there. But she's sweet, I have to say that. And I'm happy I did it.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. You went to the Crufts in Birmingham, so it was more recently than I went when it was still in London. Oh, God, 35 years ago. Never saw so many dogs in one place.
Yes. And well-behaved, too.
Well, show dogs.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And don't they know it when they're on show? Have you noticed?
Yes, I did notice that.
When they get in the ring with the... Mm-hmm. Oh, they know exactly what they're there for, which really surprised me.
They are proud of themselves.
Yes, correct. So they are. Anyway, plans for the future? We've got about 3 minutes left to talk about the future. Maybe we can stretch it to 4. More of the same, I guess. Or are you planning to expand and do other, who knows? Tell me more.
I see myself staying here, mm-hmm. at least now I'm saying that.
Yeah.
Let's
see what happens after Sunday.
For sure, I would love one day to have my own language school, a bit bigger. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like to work with other people. And maybe I would like to combine it with some hands-on experience, such as cooking classes, lifestyle courses, something like that.
So giving the kind of a scope to the language, not only learning how to...
Yes.
But let's learn all of the words you need to...
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
But I won't teach the cooking classes, so...
Why not?
I don't think I'm excelling at that.
Really?
No.
Okay. I don't know. Just thinking most Romanians I know can cook fabulously.
I cook well, but not. Like, I wouldn't say fabulous.
but it's not your USP. Your USP is your teaching of English and Romanian. Okay. So language school.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what do you need for that? You need collaborators and investors.
I think.
Yeah. So you know where to look. Give me the website again.
RomanianTeacher.ro.
There we go. Get in touch. Who knows what might happen? And free time. Do you have any free time? I mean, what do you do apart from taking the dogs for the walk?
Well, free time would be for sure going somewhere nice, mm-hmm. whether it's close to Bucharest or a bit further.
Right.
Cycling. I like to cycle.
Okay.
Taking pictures.
You cycle along and bring the dog alongside?
No, I just cycle by myself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's extreme enough, in Bucharest at least, with all the traffic.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because no, there's no real forest. I mean, I was thinking if forest nice, but not really now in the zone where you live. No, it's quite central. So,
but it saves time if you know where to go, how mm-hmm. to go. It saves time in the end.
So, where do you cycle? Do you cycle in order to get from A to B, or do you just cycle in order to get from A back to A again? You see what I mean?
Yes, I think the second.
Okay,
yeah.
Just for exercise
and
sightseeing. Yeah.
It's sightseeing and it's a bit of, you see the streets better when mm-hmm. you cycle.
Yes.
Compared to driving.
You totally do.
Compared to driving,
and
for sure.
I think even compared to walking. It's mm-hmm. it's weird, isn't it, how your mode of transport affects your outlook on...
True.
I've driven down streets 1,000 times and not seen them.
Mm-hmm.
And walked down them once. Wow.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm. Such it is. Okay. You know what? We're out of time. So quick. Thank you very much.
I mean, thank you, Stephen.
It's a very, very, very nice story and very nicely told. Your final piece of music, you picked some Vama Veke.
I did pick some
Vama Veke. Yeah, and not the obvious ones. This one's even quite hard to find. So I found it, though. It's all right. Why La Radio?
Well, the song I picked today is because this is exactly what we are doing today, which is a first for me, mm-hmm. and thank you for inviting
very
me.
Very welcome.
And I picked this song because the subliminal message of the song is about a broken society that owes big money to banks, while life should be about dreams. Uh-huh. And I think the message of the song is that we cannot buy happiness in installments. It's up to us to find it, and in order to do this, to find the happiness, we should do a deep search inside our souls.
Right. Makes perfect sense.
To record your message, press 2.
Or English, press 2. This starts in a very interesting way. Yeah. Here we go. So, yeah, thank you very much, Ioana Negro.
Thank you, Stephen.
Very, very nicely done. I'll see you on Saturday, some of you, at the Dubliner for the first monthly social meeting of the Brits in Bucharest Facebook group, if I remember. This has been Expat Life.
Fiecare zi îmi spune cineva că sunt de fericit, că viața o trăiesc din plin pentru că am mobil și-s conectat, mașină de spălat și expresor, televizor cu ecran plat, calculator, și sunt special pentru că am un car cu numele pe el, cu care în curând o să-mi cumpăr casă pe pământ și cu garaj, două mașini și un Rottweiler în curte, și voi primi nevastă urâtă și cam proastă și doi copii la școală americană, o bună care mi-e amantă și mă înșală și care vrea la sală. Suntem cu toți o comunitate de vise sfărâmate, mii de rate, de vise sfărâmate, mii de rate. Nu vreau să ajung așa, ăsta nu-s eu și trebuie să scap, să ajung la radio, să spun cine sunt eu cu adevărat. La radio, vreau să ajung la radio, să aud o țară întreagă cine sunt eu cu adevărat. La radio, vreau să ajung la radio, să aud o țară întreagă cine sunt eu. Iubita mea lucrează într-o cafenea, vrea să se facă actriță. În fiecare seară o iau și o duc acasă, în două camere și o terasă. Așa e casa noastră, albastră. Iubita mea gătește, eu ajut la vise. Apoi mă duc pe străzi și pe trotuare, în murdare de poveștile cu cretă. Și mă întâlnesc cu trei prieteni bagabonți. Sunt bagabonți, dar îi cunosc de mic. Și mergem la un net să mai vedem cum e și care-i faza și cum stă treaba. Iubita mea visează, iar eu pun bani deoparte, ca să o duc departe și să călătorim, să ne iubim și să dansăm pe mese. Asta e povestea mea și vreau să o dau la radio, să audă toată lumea că viața e simplă și mișto și eu iubesc pe fata mea. Să mă facă mai curat, nici espresorul nu o să-mi ghicească viitorul. Numele meu nu vreau să-l văd pe card, iar fericirea nu se cumpără în rate. La radio, vreau să ajung la radio, să aud o țară întreagă cine sunt eu cu adevărat. La radio, vreau să ajung la radio, să aud o țară întreagă cine sunt eu cu adevărat.
Stay tuned for Uma Every Hour. Young minds, fresh ideas. Listen again to this and previous shows. Find us at expatlife.ro.
Expat Life.
New mops, please.
Good night, everybody.
Pentru limba română, apasă 1.